Rock the Lakefront June 13th and 14th as Racine Harbor Fest returns for two unforgettable days of live music, mouthwatering food, and nonstop fun. Advance tickets $8, VIP tickets still available online at racineharborfest.com.
Students, current foreign students will have to transfer. This Swedish student says it's time to fight back.
If we give him five names, he's going to demand 100 more. So I think that this is the time we have to say, no, this is enough.
CBS's Carter Evans reports two people were killed, eight injured when a private jet crashed into a military housing neighborhood in San Diego.
We understand that many people were evacuated from these homes here by firefighters and by neighbors when they arrived on scene.
It's not clear when evacuees will be allowed back in. The White House has released Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s report on childhood chronic disease. CBS's Alexander Tin says it lists four culprits.
That includes ultra-processed foods, chemicals like food additives and pesticides, chronic stress and a lack of physical activity, and too many vaccines and prescriptions.
The report also calls for more study of childhood vaccines. CBS News Brief, I'm Michael Wallace.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The Waukesha County Sheriff's Office is investigating after a 33-year-old man died at the Milwaukee County Jail last night. It appears the man suffered a medical emergency. Jail staff attempted life-saving measures, including giving two doses of Narcan. Authorities say he'd been in custody since November on a felony methamphetamine charge. A group of Assembly Republicans are pushing for 10 new assistant district attorneys in Waukesha County and additional staff in Washington County. They say they're trying to tackle growing case backlogs and rising crime. Supporters say the amendment is critical for keeping communities safe. A Wisconsin politician is proposing to reduce the number of state elections. Jimmy Koska has more.
Wisconsin Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden is calling for the state to get rid of spring elections. Van Orden said on Wisconsin Eye that spring elections, which are held for officially nonpartisan races, should be done each fall instead. Van Orden cited voter fatigue, financial efficiency, and never-ending political campaigns to support his idea. The state's constitution requires spring elections for nonpartisan offices, specifically mentioning judicial elections, which are to be held outside of partisan elections.
Motor jobs are leaving Milwaukee. UrbanMilwaukee.com reports the Stellantis Parts Distribution Center in Bayview is set to close in 2027, with about 100 jobs moving to a new facility near Detroit. The $388 million Metro Detroit facility will consolidate five existing plants, including Milwaukee's. Cue up dreams. The Navy's Blue Angels will headline the Milwaukee Air and Water Show on July 19th and 20th. Crowds of up to 150,000 are expected at Bradford and McKinley beaches for the show. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
It's the Brewers and the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers scheduled to open a four-game series tonight in Pittsburgh that continues over the weekend. Yesterday, they lost to Baltimore 8-4 in extra innings and had to bring in Tyler Alexander again to close the game.
I was ready to go today, I mean, even though it was emergency. And before the 11th, after McGill threw, it's tough losing no matter what. So that's never fun, and as close as this ballgame was, it definitely hurts to lose.
The crew is back in Milwaukee on Monday, Memorial Day, against the Red Sox. At the NFL meetings, owners deciding not to ban the Eagles' tush-push play. Meanwhile, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur asked, did they think about bringing receiver Davante Adams back to Green Bay?
Anytime you have a player of that caliber, there's definitely conversations that go into it. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. He is the ultimate competitor and he treats practice like it's game day.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mixed skies today with a small chance of spotty sprinkles. Otherwise, winds still breezy out of the north and high temperatures scraping the mid-50s. With mostly cloudy skies tonight, lows fall to about 40, and tomorrow, plenty of sunshine and highs in the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time from beautiful Lake Wissota with Pat Kreitlow, also Peter Rapine from EFOB's World, talking about the Badger Honor Flight and even sports with Brady Ewing. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee, 540 WAUK.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
We, as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as liberals and conservatives,
get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
If it was bad before today, I cannot believe how much worse it has gotten.
If we don't stand together and protest, our democracy will be gone.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
And I'm freaked the frickin' frack out.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth, here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Thursday afternoon. We have a boatload of news. Of course, we're going to be talking about the big, brutal bill that was adopted on the narrowest of margins last night in the dead of night while America was sleeping. The MAGA regime in the House of Representatives enacted the biggest cuts to Medicare, Medicaid, and emergency food assistance in our nation's history to deliver trillions in tax cuts to people who don't need them. We will discuss especially what are called, the technical term here, are the manager amendments. These are the amendments that are asserted at the very last things, the very last little tweaks to a bill that is enacted or introduced by the, quote, manager of the bill, typically the representative that introduced the bill. A bunch of crud in there. We're going to get to that, but there's a bit of breaking news. And as your legal eagle on the air here during the weekdays, of course, you got Jim Santel, my fine guest frequently on Saturday mornings from 9 to 11, his show called Amicus, a law review. But I'm your legal eagle Monday through Friday. Let me share with you breaking news. Now, we are all aware of the Trump administration bungling about with all kinds of crazy personnel decisions. We know that Donald Trump has threatened to potentially try to, I don't know, maybe fire Jerome Powell, the chair of the Federal Reserve. We know that Donald Trump has been purging people left and right throughout the ranks of the federal government. Well, some of those purges included firings from the National Labor Relations Board. This is important. What does the NLRB do? It reviews disputes between people that are trying to organize into a union, the actual organized unions and employers. It is essential, though. Republicans have been whittling away at labor protections and the power of the NLRB for decades, read since Nixon. So Donald Trump fired a pair of people from the NLRB. That, of course, was challenged in court. The district court found that the removal, which it says in statute needs to be for cause, meaning you can't just fire them because you don't like them or they won't sign some sort of imaginary loyalty pledge to the orange man in chief. He didn't provide any reason for their firing. He just fired them. So the district court found, yep, that's illegal. The appeals court said, yep, that's illegal. Oh, but no, ladies and gentlemen, the Supreme Court just moments ago approving a stay of those prior findings of the lower court. So in other words, allowing the firings to proceed pending final adjudication on the merits. I want to read a little portion of this interim Supreme Court order because the technicalities here are really, really important. Pretty technical. If you're just joining us, I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. I am a lawyer and an economist. This is the kind of stuff that I like to dig my teeth into. Here is the Supreme Court's order from just within the last hour. The application, well, let me start here. The government applied for a stay of orders from the district court and the appeals court enjoining, i.e. preventing, the president's removal of a member of the NLRB and this other related Merit Systems Protection Board. The president is prohibited by statute from removing these officers except for cause, and no qualifying cause was given. You think, okay, well, he can't fire him then. Oh, no. Supreme Court has a few tricks up its sleeve. They continue. The application for stay presented to the Chief Justice and referred by him to the court is granted. Because the Constitution vests the executive power in the president, he may remove without cause executive officers who exercise executive power on the president's behalf, subject to narrow exceptions recognized by our precedents. The stay reflects our judgment that the government is likely to show that both the NLRB and the MSPB exercise considerable executive power. But we don't ultimately decide the final question, blah, 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 blah. It goes on. The stay also reflects our judgment that the government faces greater risk of harm from an order allowing a removed officer to continue exercising the executive power than a wrongfully removed officer faces from being unable to perform his or her statutory duty. Charming. Charming. And they do actually tip their hat. This is extraordinary that the Supreme Court in this interlocutory appeal for preliminary relief, right? This is the emergency docket, the shadow docket, right? They actually talk about the Federal Reserve Chair issue. This is extraordinary because this case isn't about the Fed Chair, okay? Here's the Supreme Court. Finally, the fired people argue that in this case, that this case will necessarily implicate the constitutionality of for-cause removal protections for members of the Federal Reserve's Board of Governors or other members of the Federal Open Market Committee. We disagree. The Federal Reserve is a uniquely structured quasi-private entity that follows in the distinct historical tradition of the first and second banks of the United States, and so on and so forth. This is remarkable because the court is signaling again in this interim relief, this non-final order about a completely separate matter that, hey, Trump, you're not gonna be able to fire the Fed chair. So very interesting. It's also signaling what I think most prognosticators would have guessed is an extraordinarily broad reading of executive power by this Supreme Court, right? Not surprising, but so broad as to effectively the court is overruling what Congress placed into law requiring for-cause removals and saying Congress did that. That's not constitutional. This is quite an extraordinary ruling, though interim from the Supreme Court. It is, again, another ruling in this slow march to this very expansive interpretation of executive power, more open to this concept of the unitary executive, which used to be some 10 years ago extraordinarily fringe. It is fringe no longer. Thanks for joining me on this Thursday afternoon. I'm Maggie Dawn, your legal eagle and economist on the air here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to join our conversation this afternoon? We got a jam-packed show for you. So much to talk about. You can always give us a buzz. Text or phone in 855-752-4845. 1-800-522-8557-CIVIC. I want to talk about the fact that two Israeli embassy staffers were shot to death last night after an event at the Israeli embassy. This is awful. This is disgusting. This is political violence. It is unacceptable in the United States. No matter how grave the atrocities that are occurring in Gaza, mass starvation, we're looking at most likely one of the greatest humanitarian disasters in recent history. And a president who, while he toured the Mideast in gilded palaces, accepting a $500 million plane from Qatar, signing business deals that half of which were already in place back from the Biden administration, didn't bother to stop in Gaza. This is disgusting, unacceptable, an anathema to any good faith American. Before I even got to talk about this news, my good friend John from Milwaukee, a conservative, was on the text line already saying this: the execution of the two Israeli citizens, I'll just read his text, is 100% the fault of left-wing media like 540 WAUK. The liberal media has normalized violence against conservatives and Jews. John, let me be clear here. No. No, not even a little bit. Political violence being normalized, sir, that would be the MAGA regime. That would be the insurrectionist in chief who interrupted the peaceful transition of power that resulted in the beatings of over 100 police officers who pardoned those who engaged in political violence. No, sir. No, sir. That is deeply wrong and misguided. I will say it again, political violence of any type is anathema to democracy. It is anti-American. It has no place. We resolve political differences in the ballot box and over the airwaves. Yes, rhetoric may be incendiary from time to time, John, but incendiary rhetoric is rhetoric. I have never, nor has anyone on this network, ever endorsed political violence. I wouldn't be here if any one of my colleagues did so. It is roundly condemned, as it should be, every day. The ones who have made excuses for political violence are in the MAGA regime. The ones who lied about the 2020 election to foment said political violence are on Fox News, admitting in court filings that they don't report news and that no reasonable person would ever believe the things that their commentators say, because of course it's pure entertainment. Fox News, fake news that has paid hundreds of millions of dollars to plaintiffs because they lie. Those lies that contributed to the political violence where over 100 police officers were beaten, injured, serious brain injuries on January 6th. That is political violence. So is the violence that took the lives of these two Israeli embassy workers, two people who are about to get engaged. It is all abhorrent, and it should be condemned, John, and shame on you for trying to place the blame at the feet of people who dare question the MAGA regime and Donald Trump. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Breaking news. The man who killed those two people has been charged with first-degree murder, as well as murder of foreign officials, causing a death with a firearm, and discharging a firearm during a crime of violence, according to a court filing. 855-752-4842. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Listen for This Week in Waukesha, a weekly podcast presentation from 540 WAUK.
Hey, it's Downtown Donnie Brown. And This Week in Waukesha, we are acting locally, thinking globally with Ron Gulata of UWM Waukesha as they talk about Corby's Last Roar, a celebration of UWM Waukesha's 58 years of service to our community before they close in June of this year.
To hear the show, go to waukradio.com and search for This Week in Waukesha, a weekly podcast from WAUK.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, as we are wont to do here on this program, we started off with quite a bang, breaking some news coming out of the Supreme Court. Other breaking news today, Harvard Student and Exchange Visitor Program has been decertified, so says constitutional scholar, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem. She sent a letter to them today, and it says simply this: I am writing to inform you that effective immediately, Harvard University's student and exchange visitor program is revoked. It goes on, as one might expect. Wow. Want to take some calls before we move on here? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Ellen from Cedarburg, thank you for your patience, ma'am. Welcome to the show. What would you like to share? Ellen, are you there, Ellen? Hello. I will try Ellen back again. Paul from Spooner on the text line saying it's Trump who wants to take Gaza and, you know, put hotels up there. These are challenging times. And what I hope, though John from Milwaukee and I disagree on much, the generous reading of his text into the show that I can provide is this. John wants to condemn political violence just like I do. And he wishes to join me in condemning the man who murdered two Israeli embassy staffers. Political violence has no place in a democracy, full stop. That's it. There's no more to be said. And whether John, my conservative friend from Milwaukee, it's your team, if we want to divide the world into teams, whether you perceive it's my team that endorses political violence, I want you to know from me, John, and every conservative listening, me, Maggie Dawn, I condemn in every way, shape, and form political violence. It has no place in democracy, and it has no place on this program. Let's take a couple callers. We've got Jean from Eau Claire. Hi, Jean. How you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. I feel the same way you do. I feel the pain. And I tell you, I remember I had a hammer. Do you remember that? One of the stations in the state of Wisconsin when Pelosi's husband was assaulted. I mean, this is so sick. I've never seen, in all honesty, I'm 70 and I paid attention to my government for 20 some years live. And I have never seen, you know, the behaviors of the people with the R after their name, the megas, the hate, and going after people. I've never seen anything like this before. It is alarming. And then watching these people when they're, you know, you're the Congress, watching the House, watching the Senate, the hatred, and the things that are being said, and the idiocracy. It's unbelievable. And Kristi Noem, give me a break. I'm sorry, but, you know, when she writes about shooting dogs in the head, puppies, and I train hunting dogs, you just know, you train a dog, you don't shoot him in the head, a puppy. I mean, these people are unbelievable, Maggie. It's like watching a horror story. So
I hear you, Jean. I do want to share with you all this. John and I, via the interwebs, the miracle of texting, we have had a moment of agreement. John from Milwaukee, my friend, my conservative friend, we have found agreement that we both condemn political violence in all of its shapes and forms. It has no place in a democracy. I have this to say about it, and then we're going to bring on some guests in the next segment. Political violence ends with us, with you, and with I, with me. We can do this. We can say to the extremist elements within our parties that will not be tolerated. So, John, to my conservative friends listening, let's make a commitment together to talk to our extremists, whomever you think is on your team that's out there on the edge, the fringe, engaging in political violence, threatening political violence. Let's agree, John, and all of my conservative friends, to tell them to stop. Let's reclaim the political discourse in this country. I love that John and I can disagree and that we can exchange these ideas. I count on the fact that John and I can do this and do this peacefully every day. Because that, the competition of ideas, the free exchange of sometimes deeply uncomfortable, yes, sometimes incendiary rhetoric, but that we all know that there is an ultimate bright line, one that we all have a responsibility to ensure is never crossed. It is all of our responsibilities, but that responsibility is exercised, it's fulfilled on a daily basis. And we fulfill that responsibility to know that in a democracy, in this American democracy, political violence will be rejected. We do that by policing our own. So we look to our own house. think I remember some biblical verse about those who live in glass houses should be careful about throwing the stones. So to the degree anyone thinks that this murderer was emboldened by progressives or liberals, I condemn him. I condemn anyone that takes up arms in the name of political truth. My name's Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. We'll be back with the Center for American Progress Action Fund right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A 33-year-old inmate at the Milwaukee County Jail died last night after suffering a medical emergency in his cell. It's reported jail officers and supervisors responded quickly, performing CPR and giving Narcan, but the inmate was pronounced dead at around 8 p.m. The Waukesha County Sheriff's Office is investigating the incident. The man had been in custody since November on a methamphetamine possession charge. A popular downtown Milwaukee bar could soon be forced to close for 20 days. The Milwaukee Common Council is preparing to vote on suspension of licenses for Brothers Bar and Grill on Water. It follows multiple fights and police incidents over the past year. The bar does say that they have updated their security policy to reduce issues. We're learning more about the deaths at UW-Platteville this week. Savannah Tolmy Olson has more.
Police found two people with gunshot wounds when they responded to a 911 call at Wilgus Hall. Authorities say 22-year-old Kelsey Martin was taken to the hospital, then flown to UW Hospital, where she was pronounced dead. She was the Wilgus Hall assistant resident director and a psychology major from Beloit. Based on preliminary autopsy findings, officials say Martin died by gunshot wound. The other woman was identified as 22-year-old Hallie Helms, who died at the scene. The preliminary autopsy findings show she died of self-inflicted gunshot wound. Helms was a Wilgus Hall resident and an elementary education major from Baraboo. No one else is suspected to have been involved. Finals are canceled for the rest of the week at UW-Platteville, and counseling is available to students in person and 24/7 by phone. University staff want students to know mental health resources are available even if they go home for the summer.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Martin Scorsese fans will have a chance to see him on the other side of the camera in a new documentary on Apple TV. Deadline reports that the famous director will be the subject of a docuseries in five parts from director Rebecca Miller. Miller is the daughter of playwright Arthur Miller and married to three-time Oscar winner Daniel Day-Lewis. In the series, Scorsese will talk about his real-life experiences and how they contributed to his masterful filmmaking. James Cameron used the old Bugs Bunny reverse psychology trick in getting Leonardo DiCaprio to sign on to Titanic, according to Deadline. When DiCaprio was considered for the part of Jack Dawson, he wanted Cameron to make the character more conflicted, similar to other roles he had played so well to that point in his career. Cameron didn't want to do that, so he presented Jack Dawson's wholesomeness as yet another challenge to DiCaprio, asking him if he thought he could pull off an unflawed character. DiCaprio took the bait, and history was made. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This report sponsored by the City of Marinette, home of the Queen Marinette Run the River Powerboat Races, June 7th and 8th. More details at fishonmarinette.com.
Mixed skies today with a small chance of spotty sprinkles. Otherwise, winds still breezy out of the north and high temperatures scraping the mid-50s. With mostly cloudy skies tonight, lows fall to about 40, and tomorrow, plenty of sunshine and highs in the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
Mark your calendars for heart-pumping, exhilarating action at the 2025 Queen Marinette's Run the River Powerboat Races in Marinette, Wisconsin on June 7th and 8th. The action will be nonstop as these high-octane boats reach speeds of over 105 miles per hour. Races kick off on Saturday and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. and run throughout the day. Free for the whole family, this is the perfect summertime weekend getaway. For more information, head to fishonmarinette.com and click on the events page.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we update all the latest news, lightening things up in hour number two. We talk to the Madison Mallards and Tyler Moss from Milwaukee Record. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, the big, brutal bill has been passed by the House. Stay tuned to see what happens in the Senate. It sure is going to be a rocky, rocky ride. I have a fabulous guest with me next, because one of the areas that I don't think has gotten enough focus is the impact of the big brutal bill and other so-called efficiency measures, what I'm going to call the billionaire overlord post-pubescent techno bro slashes, is the impact of all of these things on veterans. And it is so important as we approach Memorial Day to be hyper focused on this. So very thankful, very privileged to be joined by Allison McManus. She is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. She is the managing director of their National Security and International Policy section. Prior to joining the center, Allison was the managing director at the Freedom Initiative, where she advocated for political prisoners in the Middle East and North Africa. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Allison, and thanks so much for making time. I know you're in D.C. My best wishes and condolences to the entire D.C. community. I know the embassies are embedded right within the whole Capitol framework, and it must be a really somber afternoon in Washington, D.C.
Thanks for having me, Maggie, and I really appreciate the sentiments that you offered in the last segment, just about the heinous act of violence against these two embassy staffers. So appreciate your attention to this issue and you know, your audience being aware of what's happened here.
We will do our best, and we do our best together. So let's turn to veterans. We know that the campaign to basically break government, and in somewhat haphazard, but also a comprehensively cruel fashion from the Trump administration, that they have targeted the Department of Veterans Affairs. Tens of thousands of folks are going to lose jobs. Let's talk specifics. What are the programs? What are some of the job eliminations, the rifts, if you will, that have occurred specifically impacting veterans?
Yeah, thanks, Maggie. I mean, you know, this is an issue that I'm really glad that you're focusing on, because there's a number of ways that we can see that the Trump administration's agenda, we tend to call it the DOGE agenda, but I liked your formulation of the tech bro billionaire consortium.
Yeah, don't forget the post, barely post pubescent. It's important to paint the picture for folks.
You know, it's all in there. There's a number of ways that we've seen an impact on the veteran community. And first, I just want to give a little bit of an overview of like what the needs are of the veteran community. Who are we talking about when we talk about veterans? So there's almost 16 million veterans in the United States. I know you're in Wisconsin. There's around 300,000 veterans in Wisconsin. So we're looking at around 6% of the population. Many veterans, around half, are over the age of 65. Veterans have really complex needs that differ from the rest of the population, whether these are health needs related to their service. That includes combat veterans, but any veteran, you know, may have different health needs because of the exposure that they had in their service. And then, of course, there's the mental health needs as well that are increased in a veteran community. Over 40% of veterans have been diagnosed with some kind of mental health or advanced behavioral health needs. The other thing I want to mention is veterans have complex socioeconomic needs. This is something that's often under-discussed. There's a bit of a stigma around it. 1 in 4 active duty service members are insecure. 11% of veterans, 1.2 million veterans utilize SNAP benefits. And veterans often utilize Medicaid a lot of times in as a supplement to other federally funded healthcare programs, particularly around their families.
I don't mean to be repetitive, but these statistics are worthy of repetition, Allison. Can you give us those stats about food insecurity, Medicaid usage, these other socioeconomic complexities that are frankly come together in a unique way for vets?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we're talking about Medicaid, 850,000 military members, so these are active duty members, use Medicaid in addition to TRICARE, which is the primary coverage that the military offers. That's including 220,000 children of active duty military. 3.4 million children of veterans are covered by Medicaid. So again, huge reliance on Medicaid, particularly as a supplement for military or veteran families. 1.2 million veterans live in households that utilize SNAP benefits. And this is because 1 in 4 active duty service members and 11% of veterans are classified as food insecure. Around a quarter of veterans are economically insecure, which means they may be above the poverty line, but are still not able to afford, you know, the essentials and so live in economic precarity. For a lot of veterans, for a lot of folks, joining the military can be an engine of social mobility, particularly for those who come from disadvantaged backgrounds, but it by no means suggests that you leave the military and that you don't still maybe struggle economically. So really what we have is a population that has increased needs and that is much more likely, frankly, to rely on federal benefits and as they well deserve. I mean, there's a population who has often faces these increased needs because of the sacrifices that they've made to the country. This is why the Department of Veterans Affairs exists. Over half of veterans utilize services from the VA. And again, sometimes these are healthcare services. These can be pension funds. These can be loans for housing. I'll reveal to the audience, my husband's a veteran. I'm in our home that we were able to buy with a VA loan. So there's a variety of different ways that the VA serves the veteran community. Now, sorry for that long-winded.
Is essential to the discussion.
Yeah, exactly. So just to clarify for the audience, like, why is the VA so important? Now, in terms of what we're seeing already, just want to be clear to distinguish between what's happened so far and the impact on vets versus what we see on the horizon, because it's already really bad and I'm really, really worried that this is going to get worse. So with the VA, so first of all, we've seen this DOGE agenda target federal workers across the government. Veterans constitute around 30% of the federal workforce. Some agencies have a higher proportion of veterans. Department of Defense, for instance, is almost 50%. VA is around 30%. So anytime that we hear about layoffs, anytime
picture
that we hear
a veteran.
Yeah, exactly. We can assume that this is going to impact veterans. Veterans do have some additional protections, but it doesn't mean that they're exempt from the harm to the federal workforce that we've seen across the board. At the VA, this is compounded because, of course, this means interruptions in service to vets. And so here we've seen all this flip-flopping. There's been hiring freezes. There have been layoffs. They've brought people back. It's like paralyzed the VA's ability to plan, to meet the needs. Even before the Trump administration, the Biden administration had tried to invest in making sure that the VA could meet shortfalls that it had in staffing, just to be able to meet the needs of vets. So this is an agency that was already struggling to meet the needs and now is further impacted. Just a couple of examples of where this has caused harm already. The Veterans Crisis Line, this is like a last line of defense for veterans who are in crisis. This is a life-saving group of folks who are facing now this decreased efficiency, spread thin, and this is actually impacting the efficacy of the Veterans Crisis Line to be able to meet the needs of those who are calling in. That's like an immediate harm. In the long term, we're also seeing the impact on research and development. So these are life-saving measures that can have impact far into the future, and not only for veterans, but a lot of the research that comes out that's funded by the VA, including things like CAT scans, the nicotine patch. These are breakthroughs that benefit the American people writ large. So this is like, we're already seeing that there's been impacts. And now what the administration's proposing, an additional 80,000 personnel that might be cut. So we could estimate that there's like been around 5,000 that have either been laid off or who have left the VA. We're already seeing what the harm is there. Multiply that to 80,000. This is absolutely going to be devastating to the services that veterans receive.
It's folks, this is Allison McManus of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. She's the managing director of their National Security and International Policy Group. I don't even want to, I always hesitate to even address the efficiency question, Allison, but efficiency means delivering the services or product that you need to deliver in the most cost-effective, you know, least amount of inputs required, right? What you have when you devastate workforces and defund massive programs is you do not have efficiency, you have destruction. And that's what's happening. It started, right, with the 5,000. I worked for a long time in government, and I know well our department's level of efficiency. And when we had major upticks in work, how incredibly stressed and burnout was an actual thing. I know folks that work in the VA. Burnout is an actual thing. My mom was a nurse in the VA. Burnout was an actual thing then. And we're about to see one of the largest layoffs in our nation's history out of the VA alone.
Stunning. Yeah.
We're coming up on time here, Allison, can you hang around for another segment?
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to.
Perfect. And thank goodness. This is so important. I do not want to rush. Folks, again, we've got Allison McManus. We're talking about the Trump administration's chainsaw to the systems and benefits that help support veterans in this country. Such an important discussion to have as we are approaching Memorial Day. Of course, Allison generously sharing that her husband has served. So really excited to have you with us. So we're looking at on the horizon the 80,000 potential additional layoffs on top of the 5,000. We're going to dig into what else is on the horizon. We're going to look at the hundreds of thousands of disabled vets and how the big brutal bill may be impacting them. All of this still to come. Keep it locked, because I know everybody listening knows at least one vet and cares deeply about them. If you do, keep it locked. This wonderful discussion continues on the other side. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Treat yourself to one of our award-winning entrees at the Machine Shed. Come get your hands around one of our famous pork tenderloins, our most popular sandwich, served either deep-fried golden brown or unbreaded and grilled. Or try our roasted, stuffed Iowa chop that is stuffed with a warm apple raisin dressing and glazed with an apple whiskey sauce. Trust me, you won't regret it. This is Jeff Grunder, and we can't wait to have you over for dinner at the Machine Shed.
The Machine Shed, I-94 and Highway 164. Pewaukee.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Matt and Air on Air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Very thankful because our fantastic guest from the Center for American Progress Action Fund, Allison McManus, stuck around for a little bit extra, a little overtime with Allison, if you will. Allison, we've got 280,000 vets here in the state of Wisconsin. It's 6% of our population. We've been talking about what is still coming from the Trump administration that will impact vets? And that's not even to mention, again, as you did, all of these unique needs of veterans, the cuts that have already been made, as well as the fact that just vets are 30% of the federal workforce. And if you view it from the flip side, if we look at vets overall, 11% of vets have worked in federal government. So from either way, it's a huge proportion. What's coming? You talked about 80,000 potential additional layoffs. What else?
Yeah, so thanks, Maggie. Again, the layoffs, I think, are a huge concern, and particularly given, you know, not only the high proportion, not only the proportion of vets that are in Wisconsin, but also the fact that the VA operates all across the state. For sure, we can expect to see an impact there. You know, I have to talk about this horrendous bill right now that's moving through Congress. Donald Trump likes to call this the big, beautiful bill. What does he consider beautiful? That's taking away Medicaid benefits. That's taking away SNAP benefits for the most vulnerable. And that includes military members. So 3.4, I mentioned this earlier, 3.4 million children of veterans are covered by Medicaid. 1.2 million veterans rely on SNAP benefits. That will for sure impact veteran families in Wisconsin. And why are we seeing that congressional Republicans and the Trump administration want to push this bill through? Of course, it's to facilitate tax cuts for the wealthy. So, you know, really here, we're not seeing this as anything related to efficiency. It's quite cruel. And I have to mention, you know, it's really beyond the pale to think about taking these benefits away from vulnerable veterans at a time where Trump is planning to spend $45 million to throw himself a birthday parade that's going to be on the backs of the military community. It's truly beyond the pale. The only last thing that I'll mention is just need to make a note, and I know, Maggie, because this is an issue that you care about, is that for the LGBTQI veteran community and for the LGBTQI active duty community, this is a group that has already suffered enormously. They've been disparaged despite, serving the country honorably by the likes of the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth. This is also a community who has advanced and complex healthcare needs, and so will be disproportionately affected again.
Thank you so very much, Allison. I look forward to talking with you again, perhaps focusing a bit the next time on the Mideast and the Israel and the ongoing situation in Israel and Gaza. Thanks so much. That's Allison McManus of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. And with that, I will bring out my special next guest, Jeremy. It's been a hot minute. So glad to have you back. It's Jeremy Janine, president and co-founder, contributor at UrbanMilwaukee.com. As goes Milwaukee, so goes the state. We are a microcosm. And Jeremy, this wasn't a microcosm. This was the whole big shooting match, the RNC. We finally have some actual numbers about the RNC's impact here in the state and Milwaukee. Tell us about it.
But there's a couple key numbers. I know we only have a couple minutes, so I'm going to kind of drill down and stay with me. $321 million. Mm. That's the RNC host committee and Visit Milwaukee Commission report. They say that's the total economic impact. We then drill down further, $216 million in direct spending. So that's the money that you can actually find. If you went and actually commissioned a report, you can find somewhere $216 million being spent. The as goes Wisconsin, Milwaukee's microcosm point I want to get to is $75 million. So almost half of that $200 million in direct spending is a federal grant that paid for security. Well, how does that relate to Wisconsin? Because when you think about the Milwaukee economic impact, this was an event that had 4,000 some police officers. Milwaukee doesn't have half that many police officers. Many of those people came from across Wisconsin. That $75 million went to pay police officers in La Crosse, Janesville, Fond du Lac, Appleton. They all brought that money home with them, probably at a premium rate because it was probably overtime work. And that money is now finding its way across Wisconsin. So if you're asking yourself, did the RNC benefit me? It's possible that money's in your community. There's lots of other questions we can now raise. The big one for me is if you look at sales tax collections in Milwaukee County in 2023 versus 2024, they actually went down during the RNC, and I think that's concerning.
Say that last part again. So as compared to 2023, Milwaukee collected less sales tax during the... What, did these people not buy anything? What the hell was happening?
Well, this gets into the thing the report doesn't touch on at all. We know this $216 million was spent. What we don't know is what wasn't spent. It wasn't if Milwaukee was going to be empty in that moment. There was always going to be a baseline of spending. I wear right. This other hat as a gift shop owner. We did, and we're downtown. We were close to the Pfister Hotel. We did well that week. We had a phenomenal last day of the RNC. But comparing it to the baseline in July, it's not like we went from 0 to 100. We went from 90 to 100. So, okay, our sales tax collection went up. But if you look at restaurants at Bayview across the rest of the city, they're universally reporting bad sales during that period. And I think you're seeing that played out in the data.
Jeremy, thank you so much for explaining this. Milwaukee is microcosm, because when I saw the headline, I was like, ain't nobody I know that gets tips, speaking of tips, or nobody that I know that works in restaurants, bars, or owns them thought it was some great boon. They were all sorely disappointed, but I'm never disappointed when you join me, Jeremy. Thank you so much. Have a fabulous Memorial Day weekend, my friend. He'll be back next week. Coming up next, we continue our lead up to Memorial Day. We'll be joined by two gentlemen from the Disabled American Veterans. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News special report. The man accused of fatally shooting two Israeli embassy employees in Washington, D.C. is facing federal charges of murder of foreign officials and two counts of first-degree murder, which carry the death penalty. Court documents show Elias Rodriguez told police he did it for Palestine and Gaza.
Anti-Semitism will not be tolerated, especially in the nation's capital.
Janine Pirro is the acting U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia.
A young couple at the beginning of their life's journey, about to be engaged in another country, had their bodies removed in the cold of the night in a foreign city in a body bag.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yaron and Sarah, why aren't the victims of a random crime? The terrorists who cruelly gunned them down did so for one reason and one reason alone. He wanted to kill Jews.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.